Begin the current daf, Mesechtes Chulin daf Yud Tes. Begin 16 lines down from the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our previous Mishnah. That is, we had a machlekes, but in the halacha of the area that the uppermost part where a person could do the shechita, which in the person has to cut the two pipes, the trachea and the esophagus, the food pipe, the windpipe, the kana, the veshet, the different names that we call these two pipes, to slaughter them. The uppermost part is the tabas hagodol, the large ring of cartilage that's on the top of the trachea. That, according to the Chacham and Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, is the uppermost limit of where one could cut. Now, they had a machlekes regarding how much of that has to be left over that says you're still in that upper ring. According to the Chacham, you have to have at least a full string of the top part of that ring still intact. That means you were all the way in that area. According to Rabbi Yossi, as long as the majority was inside, even though, let's say, a little bit, a third of it went out of, that would still be considered rubai, would be kukul, that would be enough to say that you slaughtered within the area of the viable part of the trachea to be considered a valid shechita. Now, Amar Rav Huna Rav Asi, he says, he qualifies and says, Machlekes, this Machlekes is Rabban Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, he says, is in the following situation, where b'shashachat, first the person slaughtered within the area of the ring, shnei shlishi, two-thirds of the trachea, which is the majority of it is going to be in the area of the tabas, of the trachea. Then vehigrim shlish. Then the last third is when he veered off in the slaughtering, he went too high, he's already out of the area where one could slaughter. That's where their machlikus was. Rabbanan Sarbi they held, no. The entire slaughtering has to be within the area of the uppermost ring. In other words, in the area that's viable for slaughtering. And of course, it's better and it's good if it's even lower down. But it has to be at least within that ring. And therefore, it has to be entirety of a ring of a hair's breadth on the top part to say you never went past that area. But as we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Saba, he says, no, Rubik Kukulai. The majority is like the whole thing. And therefore, when he did the majority of the slaughtering within the area, that's valid. And the remaining third that he cut on further up, that's like just cutting meat of the animal. That's okay. You already did a valid slaughtering when you did the majority, the first two-thirds, within the area. And that, says Rav Huna, is what their machlekes was. Aval higrim shlish, but let's say it was the other way around. Let's say first he did hagrama, which, as we explained in the previous daf, means to say he started in the area of slaughtering above the area of the uppermost ring. He started, the first third was actually not in the area of slaughtering yet. And then v'shachat shnei shlish, and then the remaining two-thirds, he went in the area where slaughtering is valid, in the makom shechita, that says Rav Huna, diri hakol psula. There even Rabbi Yisi is going to agree that it's going to be invalid. Why? You did a majority of the slaughtering in the proper area. That's because t'chinafa cheyusa, when the life of the animal gets removed, which is when the majority of the simen of the sign of the trachea gets cut, at that point, be'ina ruba, you need to have that the majority of the life that's causing it to lose itself is b'shechita, was through the slaughtering. But the way we just described the case of Aleka, you don't have that. Because when the majority of the simen was being cut, it wasn't the majority of it through slaughtering. Because majority is when you reach two-thirds. When you reach two-thirds, the first third was on the outside, the second third was inside, that's not a majority. And therefore, although ultimately the majority is going to be cut inside, but when you have Rav Simon, that's when it loses its life, and at that point it wasn't Rav Shechita, and therefore that's where everyone agrees, that's not going to be valid, even according to Rav Yossi. That's where Rav Huna qualifies the Machlekes. That Amal Rav Chiz says Rav Huna Adra, but to the contrary, Lema Mar Ipcha, let the master Rav Huna say exactly the opposite. Why? Say the Machlekes in the Mishnah was Beshehigrim Shlish, that he started off a third of it outside the area, V'shachat Shnei Shlish, and then he cut the remaining two thirds in the area. Meaning, when you're cutting a pipe, you could be in the area and you're cutting, but you're cutting along the length. You're cutting. You start a third out, and you finish at two thirds of it is going to be in the appropriate area. Now, the Rabbi Yisrael who discovered, he held that that's going to be kosher. Why? Midi dehavi achatzi kana pogum. Just like we find when there's half of the trachea already has a nick in it. The Gemara later on tells us that if there was half of the pipe already was cut by itself, and then the sheikhid comes, the slaughterer comes, and he continues that cut, and he finishes off the slaughtering, it's going to be valid. Even though, which this is refuting the svara, the logic that Rav Huna was saying, that when it loses its life, the majority of what caused it to lose its life was not the slaughtering, because it already had half of the pipe was cut by itself. So, and still we say it's kosher, it's valid. So it says Rav Chisda here also, this hagrama of the minority, when you start a third of it out of the area, essentially is the same thing like a pegima, like if it had the cut by itself. Now when this guy goes and he adds on to that cut and he now slaughters the majority, that should not be an invalidating factor in that slaughtering. And that's essentially, says Rav Chisda, is what Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda's opinion was. Now, however, as Rashi does point out, here, however, it's not the same exact halacha like the case of Chatzikon Apagim, where by just adding on a little bit, it's not going to be enough, because you cannot combine the hagrama, what's out of the area, to validate the slaughtering, to say, oh, once you got to a majority, you're done, because that hagrama is not even in the area, it's not in the space of where slaughtering could be. By the Chatzikon Apagim, that area, at least it's in the appropriate area, it just wasn't through slaughtering. When you add in a little bit more, oh, you did a majority is already cut, and it was done through the slaughtering. So therefore, says Rav Chisda, that case of our, what we're telling you, if you did Hagrama B'Shlish, and then you Shachet Shnei Shlishi, which as we said, that's the difference between that case and the Chatzikon Apagim, you would have to ultimately slaughter the remaining two-thirds, because you have to have a Shechita, you can't combine it with the Hagrama, but that shouldn't be invalidating factor, says Rav Yaisi, again, the way Rav Chisda is explaining it, just like we find with Chatzikon Apagim. Whereas Rabbanon, they would tell you, no, Hasam over there by the case of when there's a pegima and it was already cut by itself beforehand, that is because at least it's makam shechita. That was at least it's in the space of where slaughtering could be. And yes, since to make a simen trefa, to make it a mortal defect in the kana, in the trachea, is only if a majority of it was already cut, as the Gemara says later on of Memdal and Aleph. So essentially, if only half of it is cut, if it has a begima, it's like it didn't have a begima at all, because it's not a simen tarfus yet. So even though that when it's going to lose its life, you're right, the majority of it was not through the slaughtering, however, at least it was in the place of where slaughtering is, that when you ultimately lose its life, it was in that area. But hacha over here in the case of Agrama, say the Rabbanan, that's not slaughtering. It's A, it's not slaughtering. And B, and this is where it's different and worse, say the Rabbanan and the Chatzikon Apagim, lav makom shechita. It's not even in a place of where slaughtering is even valid. So therefore, when it's losing its life, which is when you have the majority of the simen that's being cut, that first majority, it's being done in an invalidating way. Because it wasn't done in the makom shechita when it had that first half that it was cut beforehand, the first third, and then when you reach the majority, you don't have a majority that's being done in the makom shechita. And therefore, says Rav Chisda, that's their machlekes. When you have hagrama of shlish first, and then shlish shlishi of shechita. According to Rabbi Yosi, by Yehuda, it's just like Chatzikon Apagim. And the Rabban says, it's not like that, because there is a makom shechita, here's not even the makom shechita. Aval, but says Rav Chisda, shachet shnei shlish vehegim shlish, if he first cut two-thirds in the area, and then he went out and he cut the last third outside, says Rav Chisda, no, there you could say divya kol ksher. Everyone says that there it's valid. Why? He says, not, because like we learned this in the Mishnah later on, the Chav Zayin Amin Aleph. The Mishnah says, Rubay shel echad kamayhu, a majority of one pipe is like the whole pipe. And therefore, if let's say someone only cut the majority of that simen and then he stopped, it's going to be valid. Obviously, you see that Rubay kikula, the majority is like the whole thing, and therefore, says Rav Chisda, regarding Hagrama 2, it was already validated, the slaughtering by the majority that you did in the Makam Shechita. And therefore, once you go out, who cares? The Mishnah that said that the Chacham say it has to be, you have a whole thread on the whole thing and you can't go out at all, that's only, says Rav Chisda, excluding if you started and you did Hagrama, the first third, outside first. But not to exclude Hagrama at the end. And therefore, he asks on Rav Huna, why you qualifying it one way, I can tell you exactly the opposite it should be. Their machlek is only by Hagrama Shlish first, but actually if you have the Hagrama Shlish at the end, according to everyone, that should be valid. No. However, on this proof of Rav Chisda to qualify his opinion, because you see the Mishnah later on says that everyone holds Ruba Kukulai. So Amalei Rav Yisuf, he says, Man leman lan dahu Ruba du hasam. Who's to tell us that Mishnah over there that's telling us the law of majority applies? Lav Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Ketan Lo. Who said that's not the opinion of Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda? He's the one that says Ruba Kukulai. Dem Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Ketan Lo. Maybe it's Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. How are you showing that, oh, even the Rabban agree? Who says Rabbanan? On that, Amalei Abaye says back to Rabbi Yisrael, Otto kol Ruba Da'amah. What do you think? Every time we're going to say the law is a majority in Shas, which we find many times, Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Ketan Lo, it's only Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. What are you talking about? Rav Chisda makes sense in his point because, yeah, we have an anonymous Mishnah telling us Ruba Kukulai in Shechita. It makes sense. What I was saying was, in regard to the laws of majority applying to slaughtering, Wherever you're going to find a Tana that says by slaughtering that you go after the majority, that's what I was saying, that maybe that's Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, not like the Rabbanan, because the Shavan al-Hud de Pligi. Because yeah, we find that they do have a machloikas regarding it, and that we find the Chacham in our Mishnah to say we don't go after the majority. And therefore, it's not necessarily like the way of Chizra is pointing out, not like Rav Huna, that you see, oh, you say Rebbe Kukula by the slaughtering of the majority of the Simon, so that should be the same thing when you go out. No, who said that's the Rabbanan? Maybe Rabbanan would disagree. Maybe it is like the way Rav Huna had said it, and that they actually would disagree even when you did the first two-thirds inside and then the last third outside. So the Gemara doesn't prove Rav Chizra's opinion in the qualification of the Machlekes na Mishnah over that of Rav Huna. Now, Lishna Achrina Amrilah is a different version, essentially saying the same thing as we just said, just switching around the opinions of who said what. Amr Rav Huna Amr Vasi says, the Machlekes na Mishnah is Shehigrim Shlish, B'shachat Shnei Shlish, which was like the way Rav Chizda said it. Now, Machlekes is actually, is you first did Hagrama outside a third, and then two-thirds inside. Rav Yisbi Huda Saba, he held Midat HaBachatzi Kana Pogam. What do you mean? Just like you find everyone agrees when you have half of the pipe already cut by itself, which doesn't make it a treifa. And then the Shechit comes and adds a little bit more, that's good. So here too, where although you did the first third outside, and it's not good, but it wasn't yet the majority, so you do the majority, you did it validated when you're doing Shechita, and therefore that's okay. Rabbanim, but they disagree, and they say, no, hasamakam shchita. Yeah, again, no one holds you could combine it, but there at least it's not going to invalidate it, because at least that chatzikan apogam was in the makam shchita. Hacham lav makam shchita. Here wasn't a place of slaughtering. And therefore, what you did in the first third, combining when you finally get the majority, is not a majority of shchita, and therefore that's not going to be valid. Avol, but says Ravasi in this version, which is Rav Huna, shachat shnei shlish v'higim shlish, but if let's say a first cut two-thirds inside and then did a third outside, everyone's going to agree it's kashi, even according to the Chacham. So it's not like we learned in the Mishnah, Rubi Shalecha Kamai, you see the majority is like the whole thing. And that mask Rav Chizda is Rav Chizda, who in the first version that was his opinion, now he's asking on this opinion, Man Lemalanda who Rubi the Hasam, Lava Visabi, Huda Katani Law, who's to tell us, where you bring a right from that Mishnah that everyone, even according to the Chacham, they can say Rubi Kukulai, who's to tell us that wasn't Rabbi Huda over there? Dim Rabbi Huda Katani Law, maybe that Mishnah is Rabbi Huda, who yeah, he holds Rubi Kukulai, but not the Chachamim. And Adam Rabbi Yisav, he says, what do you mean? Why should we assume it's Rabbi Yisav Yehuda? We find all over Shas, and why shouldn't we think it's Chacham too? Adam Alei said to him, no, I'm not Rubi the Shechita. I mean, what I was saying is, how do you know it's Rabbanan and not Rabbi Yisav Yehuda in the laws of slaughtering? Because the Shema Nalud the Plik is, we find such a precedence that they disagree. Maybe they disagree in that halacha too, and therefore it wouldn't be a raya that they would hold that you would say Rubi Kukulai, and that what you did, the two-thirds inside, and then did the last third outside. Now, continuing these halachas, in these same type of cases, when part of it is inside, part of it is outside, says the Gemara as follows. Let's say, if we're cutting the shchita of the simen, the pipe, into thirds, let's say higrim shlish. He started, the first third of it was outside of the area. Again, if one's looking at the neck of the animal, if you're too high or too low down, you're not in the area, he was outside a third. Then he's cutting through the pipe, v'shachat shlish, and then the middle third was in the area of where it could be slaughtered. And then v'higrim shlish, he actually finished outside the area where it's allowed to be slaughtered. So what's the halacha? So it's a machlokes, Rav Huna Rav Kasher, he says actually valid. Rav Huna Rav Treifa, he says it's considered a treifa, it's not valid as a shchita. So the Gemara explains their opinions. Rav Huna Rav Kasher, he says it's valid. Why? Because kinafik chiyusa, when the animal loses its life, in this situation, which is by the middle third, which that's the majority of the simen, that was b'shchita kanafka. It lost its life during slaughtering. And that's when you get to the majority, that's when the slaughterings happen, that's when the death happens. If that death happened through slaughtering, that's good. So here, even though if you looked at the whole overall thing, you'd see two-thirds outside, one-third inside, but still the primary moment, which was during the time of the majority of the simen being cut, was at a time of shechita, and therefore it's valid. Freedom Rav, he says it's treifa. Why? Because be'ina ruba b'shchita v'lak. He says, no, you need a majority of the pipe to be cut with slaughtering, and you don't have that because you have two-thirds of it b'hagrama. Now Rashi points out not to have the girsa that you need to have a majority of it slaughtering that when it loses its life, because actually, as we're going to shortly quote, Rebbe doesn't hold that you need a majority of the life to be going out during slaughtering, because the next case they're going to discuss is the opposite, the inverse. Shachat shlish, higrim shlish, and shachat shlish, that it's kosher. Why? Because there's a ruba of shchita. Now, although the first majority, which is the time when it loses its life, that's not what's slaughtering. So still he says it's kosher because you look at the overall. Overall, you have shechita, then it's valid. And here in this case, it's a trefa because overall you have 2/3 agrama and only 1/3 shechita. That's not a majority of shechita, and therefore he says it's trefa. Now, as we said, the flip side, the next case that they disagree is the other way. Shachat shlish. The first third was a proper slaughtering. Then Mehigim Shlishi went out for the middle third, and then Meshachat Shlishi went back in for the last third in the area of slaughtering. So here, Rabbi Yehuda Merav, he says it's kashera. It's going to be valid, as his opinion we mentioned before. Now, Asu Shayula L'Rav Huna. Now they came and they asked Rav Huna, what does he hold the halacha is? And Omalahu Trefa, he says that it's Trefa. Now, as Rashi points out, he was saying this on his own. This wasn't like in the previous teaching that he had heard it in the name of Rav, from the fact that he didn't say that this is what Rav says, that it's a trefa. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, he had said his opinion that it's kosher in the name of Rav. Now, Shem Rabbi Yehuda Ikbet, Rabbi Yehuda heard that Rav Huna had said it's a trefa, and he was particularly bothered by that. Amma, he says, as in these two machlegas that they have, he says, Tirifnu ummachshir. What I say is treif, he says it's kosher. Ummachshir in the turf, and what I say is kosher, he says it's treif. So Amr Rav Huna, he says, Shapar kol mikbet. It's good that it's appropriate that he's upset. Chada diu shmile mene dirav. First of all, he heard from the sage Rav. Vanola shmile, and I didn't hear. So it makes sense that the halacha should be like Rav Huda, not like me. Void, moreover, ha'ikar rubi b'shchita. Moreover, Rav Huda should be correct, because ultimately, as in the case we just discussed, the majority of the kana of the trachea was cut through slaughtering. And because you did shchita third, Hagrama third and a Shechita third. So you write the halacha should be like him, that it's kasha, not like me, that it says trefa. However, Amalei Rav Chizda said to Rav Huna, no, loy tahadabach. Don't retract your opinion here in this second case that you disagree with Rav Yehuda. Why? As a continue to Medbeis, because Dimkain, if that would be the case, mafsadata lo lakamaisa, because then you would be losing also your opinion in the first machlokes you had, which that's not your own opinion, that's something that you did hear and you were saying in the name of Rav. Where although he was also, obviously, did some machlekes in what was that Rav said, in the case of Hagram in the first third, slaughtering the second third, Hagram in the third third, that you had said in the name of Rav, it's kosher, which from that opinion, you obviously see that it's not contingent on the overall, that you look at the overall has to have majority of slaughtering, because in that case, the majority is Hagramah, and still you said in the name of Rav, that's kosher. Rather, why in the first case did you say that it's kosher? The key nafka chiyusa, because when it loses its life, which is in the middle third, bechsheri kanafka, it left it in the time of validity, which was during the time of shechita. So it says of Chizas, hachanam hiros, in the second case that you're disagreeing, at the time when it loses its life is what's dependent? Ki nafka chiyusa, when does it lose its life? Bagrama kanafka, it's losing it in the time of agrama, and therefore you're correct, just like in your previous opinion, that here it's going to be trefa, because it depends on when the moment of death happens, not at the overall, and therefore do not retract. Now, Rashi points out, these cases that Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda disagree in regarding what we're calling this Hagrama and their Shechita, it's not disagreeing with what the Gemara was previously talking about, the Machlekes in our Mishnah, the two opinions of Rabban and Rav Yesi. It's not going on their Machlekes, because if it was, you would have a difficulty, a contradiction, Rav Huna and Rav Huna. Because we had mentioned before, in the first version of the Gemara, that even when you did only the first third Hagrama, and you did the two remaining thirds as Shechita, Rav Huna said it's going to be treif according to everybody. Because he said the only way they say it's kosher is if you did the first 2/3 Shechita, and then there's a machlokes regarding the remaining third. So for sure he would say it's possible when you did Hagrama third, Shechita third, and Hagrama third, and here he's saying that that's going to be kosher. Rather, says Rashi, that first Rav Huna was going on the Machlekes Rabban Rav Yisi in our Mishnah. And that Rav Huna was saying the name of Rav Asi, as the Gemara had quoted. This that we're talking about, the Machlekes Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna, is actually going like a third Tanoic opinion, not mentioned in our Mishnah, which we mentioned in the Gemara in the previous daf, in the Brisa, like Rav Chanina, who he says actually it's kosher even higher than the Tabas HaGadol, even in that Kaiveya, something like the shape of a hat that starts slanting. And this teaching is like Rav Huna is saying in the name of Rav. And that's why he's saying that, yes, even if you have a grama, then shechita and a grama, it's going to be valid, because at the moment of death, if it was during shechita, it's going in a different Tanoic opinion, and therefore it doesn't contradict the first Rav Huna that we had mentioned on this daf in the beginning of the Gemara. Now, continuing on these halachas, Ikla Rav Nachman l'sura. Rav Nachman went to this place, Sura, and Boimene, they asked from him, this case that we had been discussing, Shachat Shlish, if the Sheikh had first slaughtered the third in the area, the Higim Shlish, then he went out of third, the Shachat Shlish, and the third he cut in the appropriate area, Ma, what's the halacha? Now, Amalahu, he said to them, Lav Haina Rabbi Elazar ben Yumi, isn't this, and he's coming from a different source, isn't this the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yumi? Dam Rabbi Elazar ben Yumi, he says, Shchita Hasui Kamasrik Sher. Slaughtering that's like a comb is valid. What does it mean like a comb? Essentially, that's the case that you're talking about. When the person's slaughtering, he was going like teeth of a comb, going up and down, which as the Shita Mekabetz says, brings a picture like one would find like a line going up and then lateral and then down and then back down again. That's like basically teeth of a comb. So that's the same thing you're talking about, where a slaughtering in the area, it goes out and then it comes back in. You see that he holds that, that's kosher. So you see that the case you're asking me is kosher. And then the Gemara rejects the Raya. No, maybe when Rabbi Elazar ben Yumi said cutting like a comb is valid, is in the area of the slaughtering itself. That's what he says, even if you cut jagged, it's going to be kasha. But if you did hagram, if you went out of the area of shechita, maybe Rabbi Elazar ben Yumi would hold that's not valid. And that says the Gemara, b'makom shechita may lamembo. What would be the necessity of saying that it's kasha if you always stayed in the area of where shechita could be? That says the Gemara, no, because now the tema be'in and shechita mufaraz, what would you think that you need to have that the slaughtering should be open and recognizable? The lekin, if you're cutting like a comb, jagged in and out, you can't tell that it's a full-fledged slaughtering because some of it is hidden underneath in the place where you sliced. And therefore you would think it wouldn't be valid. That would be the chiddush of Elazar ben Yumi, that it's valid. But again, there wouldn't be a riot to what you're trying to say, that it's valid even if you did hagrama going out of the area of the shechita itself. Continuing on these halachas, the Gemara brings Simon Bechad, which is the names of the Amiram of this next story. Yosef Reb Abba, well, that's the Beis, Achard Rav Kahana, that's the Chav, he was sitting behind Rav Kahana. Yosef Rav Kahana came to Rav Yehuda, that's the Dalad, he was sitting in front of Rav Yehuda. Yosef Akama, and Rav Kahana was sitting and he was asking from Yehuda the following questions. Shachat Shlish, if the first third was cut in the appropriate area. Ve'yagim Shlish, and they went out the next third. Then Veshachat Shlish, the last third was in the appropriate area. Ma, what's Halacha? So Amalei Shechita Asik Sher, he said that the slaughtering is going to be valid because we look at the majority of the kana, of the pipe. Majority of what was done is slaughtering. And again, this is Rabbi Yehuda who does not make a contingent on the moment of when it loses its life, because that actually is during the time of Agrama. Rather, as we mentioned before, he goes, you look at the majority of the kana as it was cut, majority was in Shechita, and therefore it's going to be valid. Now I asked him the inverse. Higrim Shlish. Let's say the first third was Hagrama, Veshachah Shlish, and the second third was Shechita, Vehigrim Shlish, and the last third was Hagrama. Ma, what's Halacha? So here, as we mentioned before, Rabbi Yehuda's opinions, Amalei Shechita Asik Pesula, that's going to be invalid, because again, if you look at the majority as a graph, the majority was Hagrama, and therefore it wasn't Rubai B'Shechita. He asked him a third case. Shachat B'Mokim Nekev Ma. What's Halacha if he slaughtered in the place where there was already a hole? Which, as Rashi explained, this is the case of Chatzik on the Pagam we mentioned before, on the outer part, meaning when you're coming to cut, the first thing you encounter is that hole, which is already halfway cut, which is not a Simon the Treifas yet. And then you go and you finish it off. So Amalei Shechita Asik Sher says, that's a valid slaughtering, which as Tesis says, obviously it's kosher, because we know this halacha of Chatzik on the Pagam and then you finish it off according to everybody. Says Taisis, the only reason why he asked him this question because he wanted to ask him the next question, which is similar as the Gemara is going to discuss. What's if he says, Shachat upogabai neck of Mahu? What's if he started slaughtering from the neck, and then this is different. Here it's a chatzik on the pogam, not on the outer part, meaning right where you start slaughtering by the neck, but rather it's the inner part of the kana, meaning towards the back of the neck, towards the neck bone, which is the last part you hit when you're slaughtering. That last part is where he hit a nekiv, where it was already had a hole over there. Again, it's not a treifa, but again, when he's slaughtering, that when he's getting there by the halfway point, he hits that nekiv. What's halach over there? So Malei Shechita Asik Pesula, their review that says, actually, the slaughtering is going to be invalid. So Azar Rabbi, who was sitting behind Rav Kahana, hearing this whole discussion between Rav Kahana and Rabbi Yehuda, he went, and Amr Kamed Rabbi Elazar, he said this teaching of Rabbi Yehuda in the name over in front of Rabbi Elazar. Now, Az Rabbi Elazar, Amr Kamed Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Elazar then went and said over in front of Rabbi Yechanan. And then Amalei, Rabbi Yechanan said to Rabbi Elazar, Maishna, what's the difference? What's the difference if the Chatzik on the Pogam was in the inner part or in the outer part? What's the difference if he started off the first half that was the cut and then he finished it off? Or if he started off the first half slaughtering and then the last half is where he hits that hole in the outer part of the Kana? So Malaysia, Rabbi Elazar said to him, I said, I'll tell you as follows. Shachat b'makom nekev, the case of where he started slaughtering where the hole was already there. Nasa kemi, that would be like the following case. Shashachat oivet kechav mezif, a non-Jew went and slaughtered the first half of the pipe, which is not significant yet. because it's not considered slaughtering yet. Moreover, it doesn't make it into a trefer yet until it's a majority of the pipe. Then v'gam Yisrael. Then the Jew finishes it off so that the moment that it loses the life of the animal, which is the majority of when it's cut, was through a Jew. And like we said, the first half it didn't become a trefer because the trachea only becomes a cementarfus when the majority is cut. So that's why by the case of when it was shachad kanapagam, it's going to be valid. Whereas shachad the pogam by neka, but if let's say he started slaughtering the first half of the pipe, there was nothing there. Then the second half is where he encounters the hole on the outer part. That's nasa kimisha shechad yisrael. That would be like the inverse. That would be like if a Jew slaughtered the first half, and as if a non-Jew finished off the second half, which that would be invalid because the Jew didn't do the appropriate shechita in the first half because it wasn't the majority yet. And that's why when you hit the neck of the last half, the Jew didn't do a shechita because there was already a hole there. So therefore, that's why it's invalid. So Kari Aleis, Rabbi Yechanan recited on Rabbi Laza, who was trying to give him this interpretation and this comparison, he said, Evikachavim, Evikachavim, idolater, idolater. Now, as Rashi points out, he wasn't calling Rabbi Lazar an Evikachavim. Rather, he was mocking him and he was saying, Evikachavim, Evikachavim. In other words, regarding this, that you're trying to compare your explanation to the slaughtering of a non-Jew, you could say this all day, Evikachavim, Evikachavim, but the reasoning and the rationale is not similar and comparable, and therefore it's not a good interpretation. As the Gemara continues, as Rav explains, Amar Ravi says, "Shapa kari alei avikachavim avikachavim." It's appropriate what Rabbi Yechon was mocking Rabbi Lazar by saying avikachavim avikachavim. Why? Why are they different? Says Rav, because bishle mahasam, we could understand over there in the case of where a Jew slaughtered the first half, and then a non-Jew slaughtered the second half. There's going to be pasul because medahava leli yisrael mishchadruba, because the Jew should have slaughtered the majority because he had a whole kana, a whole trachea in front of him that was intact. But v'loy shachin, in the case that he's comparing it to, he didn't slaughter the whole thing, only half. So he didn't do anything significant because the life of the animal does not get removed when he cuts only half. And therefore, it's like it's still intact. And therefore, when the non-Jew comes after him, it's like he did the whole slaughtering. Because kinafik he used to, when it loses its life, it's losing it through the non-Jew. And therefore, that's not valid. However, but over here in the case of when he's cutting, and he cuts through half, and then he hits the nekiv on the second half, so mechti, let's see. Mishchid shachid, he's slaughtering whatever he finds this Jew. Now, like we said, it does not become a trefa with half of the pipe being cut. So when he started off cutting, essentially, even though it already had a half of a hole on the second half, it was like he was cutting a full kana, full trachea. Moreover, now that he finished, although he hit a hole on the second half, we have a slaughtered animal in front of us. So Mali b'makam nekev, why does it make a difference to me if he started off in the hole? Mali pogam nekev, what happens if he ends off in the hole? Either way, a half of a hole, you're telling me, is not significant. It doesn't make it into a trefa. So who cares if he started in the hole and ended without, or started without and ended with a hole? Either way, he did a full shechita, it's a slaughtered animal, and there was a hole, which does not make it a trefa, and he's doing a full act of slaughtering. Therefore, said Rabbi Yechanan, the way Rav explained, it should still be valid, and therefore they did not like that interpretation of Yehuda. It should still be kosher, and it shouldn't be comparable to the case of a Jew slaughtering the first half and a non-Jew finishing off the slaughtering. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the opening word of all these previous Mishnayos regarding Hasheichid, talking about the laws of slaughtering. Says the Mishnah, Hasheichid minat staden. If someone slaughters the animal on the side of the neck, so then Shechitas Iksher, the slaughtering is valid. Now, as Rashi points out, it's not just like Hasheichid, the wording that sounds like, oh, after the fact, but the Evan. It's even initially valid. It's just because we wanted to say the inverse, as this Mishnah is comparing Shechita to Malika, which Shechita is generally done on animals, and Malika on the bird carbonus in the Beis HaMikdash, which wants to tell us that if someone does Malika from this side, that then that's going to be pasul. So therefore it said Hasheichid in the term of Bidi Evan, to say that Malika is possibly Mediyavid, but really this halacha of slaughtering from the sides is kasher, even like a tchila. However, as we mentioned before, Hamoylik min atzad, but if someone does Malika, which is that the kohen takes his thumb and he cuts with his nail, and he cuts the siman of the bird carbon, but if he does it from the side of the neck, then then the Malika is going to be invalid, because the pasuk says by Malika has to be Mimul Arpai, which we'll explain in the Gemara, that is from the behind the neck, not the side, and therefore side is not valid. Continues the Mishnah. Hasheichid min ha'oyrif. Now what this means is, the Gemara is going to explain that actually, although the oyrif really usually means the nape, the back of the head, here it actually means the area opposite the oyrif, which means to say behind the neck. Because it's opposite the back of the head, meaning it's towards, because it's below, beneath it. It's what sees the back of the head. But it's actually the neck and not the back of the head. So if someone slaughters in the back of the neck, that's an invalid slaughtering. As the Gemara will explain, we're talking about that he didn't manipulate the simanim, the esophagus and the trachea, which you could manipulate, and move it behind the neck bone. Rather, he kept the animal in its anatomy, its physiology as it is, and he cut from the neck, which that means to say he'd be cutting through the neck bone until he reached the simanim. Now, that means to say before he reached the trachea and the esophagus, he had already made the animal a trepha by cutting the neck bone. Now, although that by Malika that's valid, that's because the whole Malika from beginning to the end is going to be in a situation of a Malika that's supposed to be like unlike a situation of Shechita. The Torah tells you have to do it from the back of the neck. So essentially that would be like a regular Shechita, where when someone does Shechita, you could technically say when you're starting to slaughter, so before you finish the act of slaughtering, you're going back and forth and you're cutting into the esophagus. Oh, you made a trefa before you finish the slaughtering. You don't say that because that's part of the act of the slaughtering. So therefore, Malika is also supposed to be through the back of the animal's neck. In contrast, if one would slaughter from the back of the neck, since that wasn't how the tradition is that Shechita is supposed to be, so then the breaking of the neck bone is not part of the slaughtering, and therefore that would make it into a trefa. Now, moreover, if someone slaughters from, as we said, the opening halacha, from the side of the neck, the Mishnah said that's going to be kosher, that's even if you don't manipulate it to be on the sides, because either way, if one's going to slaughter from the side of the animal, he's going to be cutting the simanim before he cuts the neck bone. It's just that we're saying that, technically, if one would slaughter from the back of the neck, if you manipulate the simanim and you pull it behind the neck bone, you could do a valid shechita there too also, but as the Gemara is going to explain, we're talking about this, that if someone slaughters from the ayur, if it's going to be puzzle, is if you just do it as is, that is going to be puzzle because you're going to make it a trefa before you actually get to the simanim, again, in contrast, in the front or even from the sides. Now, continues the Mishnah, but ha-moilik min ayur, as we said, someone does malika from the back of the neck and he cuts the flesh and the neck bone before he gets to the simanim, they're merely kosher share. That's a valid malika, because as we said, that is the mitzvah of malika liketchila, as we learned in Braisa later on, the chafal of manav, that says that's how malika is supposed to be done. That one cuts the spine and the neck bone without getting a majority of the flesh until he reaches the esophagus or to the trachea. Now, here also Rashi points out, it's only because we said hashechit from the ayrev, that shechit is going to be possible even with the yevet, so we said hamoilik also in the terminology of the yevet, but obviously that's even like a tchilik, because that's actually how it's supposed to be. Continues the Mishnah, hashechit min hatzaver, if someone slaughters from the throat, I mean the area opposite the neck is called the throat, that's where majority of slaughtering is, that's where it's supposed to be, so obviously there's shechitasik share, it's a valid slaughtering, but hamoilik min hatzaver, someone does malika from the neck, meaning from the throat, meaning opposite the neck, in front of the animal, malikasim sula, that's an invalid malika. As the Mishnah says, shekala ayurif, because the entire area of the ayurif, which as we explained, means really mulha ayurif, meaning the neck, which is opposite the nape, the back of the head, which facing that is the neck, which is further down the animal, that's kashala malika. That whole area is valid for malika. And b'cholat saver, kashala shchita, the other side of the animal, the front of it, its whole neck, its whole throat, is valid for slaughtering. Says the Mishnah, Nimsa comes out, kasher b'shchita pasul b'malika. What's valid for shchita, which is the throat, is invalid for malika. And kasher b'malika pasul b'shchita, what's valid for malika, which is the neck, the back of the animal, that's invalid for slaughtering. Now, says the Gemara, as we've been explaining, my oirif, what do we really mean in the Mishnah oirif? Ilema oirif mamish, if it means literally that what we mean behind the face is called the oirif, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain that what's opposite the face is called the oirif. And that's what we're saying, if someone does shechita from there, it's going to be invalid. And that says the Gemara, so then my ear is shechit. Why would you say only slaughtering is invalid? Then even malika should be possible, because mimul arpo yam rachman. The Torah says, you have to do the malika from the area that's opposite the ayrif. Veloy arpo, not the ayrif itself. So if we mean literally ayrif, then it should be possible even by malika. Ella, my ayrif, rather says the Gemara, what does the Mishnah mean when it says ayrif? It means the area that's called mimul ayrif. That's facing the ayrif. Because the Tanya Sefer, like we learned at the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kala ayrif kasher l'malika. The whole ayrif is valid for malika. Now, if it meant literally the nape, the back of the head, then why would it say kala ayrif? The area in an animal behind its head is a very small area. Rather, obviously, we're talking about mul oirif, which is the neck, which is very long in the animal, and that's saying that whole area is going to be valid for malika. Now, says the Gemara, not merely, where do we know this idea that we're saying what's oirif, what's mul oirif, what's the area that's valid for malika, which is pasul v'shchita? Says the Gemara, turn about like we learned in the Braisa. Says in the pasuk that you do malika mamul arpit from opposite the irif. What does this mean? Mul harayas irif means the area that's opposite, facing the area of the irif. And says the Braisa, b'chein oymer sotu, says the pasuk in Midbar where Balak said to Bilam, "Who yoyishev mimuli," that he's sitting, he's dwelling opposite me. So we see that wherever it says mul doesn't mean literally on that area itself, rather means the area that sees it, because the Jewish people weren't sitting on Balak. Rather, it was in the area where he saw, where Balak was able to see the Jewish people opposite him being encamped. And Vayimer, so too, Raya, it says, Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Ki ponu elai orif leipanim, because what their back is facing, the back of their head is facing me, and not their face. From the fact that it says orif leipanim, and it doesn't say, because they face to me their orif and not their tsaver, which would be the throat. Obviously, the orif of the Pasuk is not opposite the throat. Rather, it's opposite the face. So when you say mul ha'irif, which is the area facing the area which sees the irif, must be opposite the throat, which is the neck, and that's where shechit is done. Now the Gemara wonders, ma'iva omer, why do we need this extra raya? And it says in the pasuk, already learned from the second pasuk that was brought down, where it says, Balak says v'hu yoyshe mimuli, it says we already know from there, means mul, means opposite that area. Now, from that last pasuk that we're bringing, we're not learning out anything of mul oirif regarding that pasuk to tell us that it's not literally the oirif, because that pasuk doesn't tell us anything regarding where's the area of the oirif. So what are we learning from the last pasuk? Says the Gemara v'chita, and if you're going to say, oh, that what it's telling us is that now that you said that when the pasuk says mul, it means the area that would see the oirif, but still, oirif gufay lo yadin hecha, but we don't know, so what is the area of the oirif? We're saying, so you do it, the malika, what's mul oirif? What's the oirif? Dinei de mul de da hecha, so that we should know what's the area facing that. That's why Toshima, that's what we needed the last pasuk, ki ponu elai oirif leiponim, that they face to me their oirif and not their face. Mechlal de oirif lahadiponim. Obviously, that's telling us that the back of the ponim, of the face, is the oirif, and that's how we know that. So now we know, first of all, that that's what the oirif is. That was the last pasuk. And then the middle pasuk was telling us, okay, but now, what's mul oirif? We see that mimuli means facing the area that sees it. So therefore, we're talking about the neck that sees the back of the head, which that's the place where malika is done. Like the pasuk says, mimul oirif, mimul orpai. Now, continuing on these halachas, Amr b'nei Reb Chiya, the sons of Reb Chiya said, mitzvah malika, the mitzvah malika is, machzer simanim l'achayri ha'orif. What you do is you manipulate the simanim, the two pipes, to be behind the neck, and be in the back of the neck, umaylik, and then one goes ahead and does malika, and then he's only, the first thing he's cutting is actually the simanim themselves, which the Gemara is going to ask in that from the halacha of our Mishnah. Now, there's a difference of opinion how to interpret what the sons of Chiya said. Ikadami, that those that say that what they were saying was af machzer, that you could even manipulate the simanim and put it in the back. In other words, the mitzvah is to do, as a simple understanding, is to do malika from the spine, from the neck bone, first cutting through until you reach to the simanim. But what the sons of Reb Chiya are saying is that if he manipulated the simanim to be in the back and he did malika only on them, and that's it, because he ended up cutting the pipes that way without going through the spine, that's also a fulfillment of the mitzvah. That's one version. Bigger dami, that those that say, no, the machzer dafka, what they were saying is, no, it has to be like that. You have to manipulate the pipes in the back. And if you didn't, then you cut through the spine, that's actually going to be invalid because you made the animal into a trefa before you cut the simanim. Now, says the Gemara, Mistaber Kamanda Amen, it's logical, like the one who says that the sons of Reb Chiya, that af machzer, that they said that it means that even if you put the simanim in the back. Mimai, from where do we know this? Because if it was that they said that you have to put the simanim in the back, then our Mishnah would refute their opinion. Meniktani, from the fact we learned in our Mishnah said, Hashechem in the Arif, Shechita Sibsul. If someone does Shechita from the Arif, which we said it means Mumul or Arpa, it means from the neck, then the Shechita is going to be invalid. But Hamalik in the Arif, if someone does Malika from the back of the neck, then Malikasik Sheh, then that's a valid Malika. Says the Gemara, Zagatin Tab of Chof Marallah, Visa Gitaitir Marse Dafka. Now, if you're entertained to say that you have to do Malika by manipulating the Siman to be in the back of the neck, and therefore, when our Mishnah said the Malika is going to be kosher, is only talking about that when you manipulated the Siman to be in the back. Because if you didn't, actually would be pasalim from malikim. So then says the Gemara, so ma'ir yamalik, then if that's the only way malika is kosher, so then why is malika the only one that's kosher when you do it from the back of the neck? Even shchita should be valid. Why should shchita be pasal? Why is doing it from the back of the neck any different than doing the sides? Because although shchita is usually done from the front, from the throat, but just like we said, the side is good because ultimately you're cutting the pipes first. So in the back also, you're also cutting the pipes first if you're manipulating, just like you're saying malika is required. Allah Shema, no, Av Mavzer, rather, must be that the sons of Bechiah said, no, that even if you do Mavzer, but that's not the primary, to the contrary, primary is going straight through the neck bone, or must need Nibulaya Hadr. And then you could understand that our Mishnah would be talking about that when you didn't manipulate the going into the back. And therefore, if you didn't, so Malika would be kosher, and then the Shechita would be Pasul. But our Mishnah wouldn't be their refutation, but it wouldn't support it either. It would just be talking about a case that wasn't manipulated. So we wouldn't know if you could, but it wouldn't tell us that you wouldn't. But that would be understandable why the shechita would be pasul and that malika would be kosher.